thank you so much on this Wednesday, the 24th day of January in 2018. We are live on the internet through BBS Radio. Thank you to my friends in paradise for making this possible for us. My name is Gijs Minderhout, and I happen to live in paradise as well. Synchronicities. I welcome you all. And as usual, this is a simulcast with a conference call, and we had the first person joined in. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is John Munter from northern Minnesota.
Hello, John. Good evening. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty well tonight.
All right. Thank you for being here. And we are 3 minutes away from the hour, so I see Wynn is dialing in right now. He will be here shortly.
Oh, good.
And we wait for more people to join in. How is the weather in Minnesota, John?
It's unseasonably warm, actually. It's in the 20s
right.
This week and last week. Normally it's 20 below. This year it's 20 above.
Wow, that makes a big difference, yeah.
Yeah.
It's good to keep the house warm.
Yeah.
Are you a lot of people burning wood in the house or to keep it warm?
Go ahead with your...
All right, the next person that joined in, welcome to the call.
Yes, Wynn.
Hello, Wynn.
Hello,
yeah, to answer your question, Wynn, I'm going to be going out this year and collecting a lot of firewood for making maple syrup and for making juice.
All right.
I've got a root cellar with a bunch of apples in it. I'll make apple juice out of it.
Was that your question, Hayes?
That is my question. He called me Wynn.
All right. What didn't I ask? What was the question?
I did ask John, who's in Minnesota, how the weather was and what they use for fuel to keep the house warm, which is mainly wood, firewood, I guess.
Well, we use propane, actually. But
propane, okay.
Yeah, I'm getting awful worried about the methane issues in this world, so I'm kind of sorry we're using propane, but that's what we're currently doing.
Yeah, natural gas is a lot cleaner than propane, huh?
Propane's a byproduct of natural gas, but
mm-hmm.
There's such a big emission rate, leakage rate of methane from natural gas production, and
mm-hmm.
that it's really a problem that nobody's taking seriously enough in terms of the global warming potential.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm originally from Holland, the Netherlands, but right now they have already laws that new homes are no longer allowed to have gas as a fuel.
Wow, that's a big change.
Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
This is Terry from Dallas.
Hello, Terry. Good evening to you and welcome.
Hello. Thank you. Hi.
All right. A lot with no longer gas in Holland also has to do because they win their own gas or part of it in the northern part of Holland, and due to the taking the gas out of the soil, they had earthquakes going on, and they know it was related to gas winning, so they want to stop that completely.
Oh, good.
Yeah. All right, more people joined in here. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hello, Shirley from Ohio.
Good evening to you, Shirley. Welcome.
Good evening.
And the next person, please say your name and location. If you want to, we welcome you. And I welcome all those that are listening in through BBS Radio Online. Thank you for being here. A good evening to you. I hope you're warm and cozy. Welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Susan in Virginia.
Hi, Susan. Good evening. Welcome.
Thank you.
Is that Susan Rush?
Hi, Wynn.
Susan Rush?
Yes.
Always in a hurry. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say name and location.
Hi, Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Good evening, Don. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Don.
Hi, Don.
Hi, everybody.
And we had another person joining. Welcome. Please say name and location.
Hi, everyone. It's Prudy in Michigan.
Hello, Prudy. Good evening. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hi, Prudy.
Hi, Prudy.
Hi, Don. Hi.
So Terry isn't here yet, Wynn, in case you were not aware of that.
I fire here today.
Aye. We have a serious problem.
Surprised you didn't quit.
Thank you, Don.
Welcome the next person. Please say a name and location. But only if you want to. We welcome you.
Terry will be here in a moment.
All right.
She dropped somebody off and is on her way home.
Did you get a new phone?
I think it's coming tomorrow, but I got her on Skype.
She's liking that? Skype?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's working.
She might want to continue doing that because it's good quality as well.
Hi.
Here is the Skype lady. Good evening, Terry.
Hi there.
Welcome. How are you?
Pretty good.
All right. And we had a few more callers. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Roger in Austin.
Hi, Roger. Good evening.
Good evening.
Who else? Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Brenda, D.C.
Hi, Brenda. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Hey, Roger.
Hello.
Roger. You had a question a few weeks ago, as I recall, that we never got to. Am I right?
We did.
You still have that, but we did get to it?
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Thank you for asking.
You're welcome. Is Valerie there?
No, she's not here as far as I know.
All right.
Turn the alarms off.
I think we're ready.
Okay. One more caller. Welcome. Please say name and location. If you want to. We welcome you. So I'm going to turn off the dings and mute the phone lines.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. This conference is being recorded.
This is January 24th, 2018. Wynn and Terry in Sedona. And this is our call where people have submitted questions. And let me just look here. Terry, let's hear how you sound.
Okay. I'm on Skype on the computer.
Okay. You sound very good.
Good.
Does Ronald know not to interrupt you?
Ronald, I don't know. I don't think he would interrupt if he knew I was on the phone, but he doesn't probably know. Should I go tell him?
It's up to you.
Yeah, because it throws me off if I get interrupted. Hold on.
All right. I am a little low energy tonight. But I'm not supposed to say that. Terry, are you back? Where is she?
Yeah.
You're back?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So are you ready?
Not really. Not really.
Me neither. So let's go for it.
All right.
Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light. Surround and protect Terry, myself, and each person on this line. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies and into the center of the earth. And right now we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes. We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. It is our joy to be with you this 24th day of 2018, focusing on planet Earth. We take a moment and we orient and we see each person listening as a pinpoint of light. And if you wish to be connected with, we connect. We are pleased to be of whatever service for the highest good that we can, and we love you all and appreciate the trials and tribulations that you each go through in the day-to-day living in the difficult planet Earth. Do you have questions?
Yes. I'm going to start out with a question from me, and it has to do with the sun and the moon and reflected light versus radiant light. And we'll see if I can formulate this. We know there's something called toroid wave radiation, which is the basic building block of the universe.
Yes.
The spinningness. And the spinningness starts at the center. And everything in the universe is formed of the spinningness as it travels. And am I correct so far?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And so then we have light. Light is different than spinningness.
Light is a result of spinningness in the third density.
Okay. So, in our solar system, we have radiant light and reflected light. The sun is radiant light, and the planets are reflective light, and the moon is reflective light.
Yes.
So, how, but I don't, is the spinningness then being reflected from the sun back to the planets, or does it hit the planets on its way to the sun?
Does it hit the planets on what?
On the way to the sun.
It is from the sun to the planets and past the planets and moving out.
So in other words, the sun is actually radiating the spinningness to the planets.
Each molecule, each spinning orbit has its own magnetic light, which is expressed in a light form, a light form. Mm-hmm. And then the sun sends radiant light, which then lights up each planet and each body with reflected light. So there are two lights.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the Earth realm, we have two calendars. We have a solar calendar, and we have a lunar calendar. And in the West, we follow a solar calendar. But in the Middle East, I know Hebrews in particular, follow a lunar calendar.
There are advantages to each.
Can you share what they are?
The lunar calendar gives more information about the gravity pull effect on the different tides and the different parts of the Earth, and even about potentials for earthquakes. The solar sun gives the tilt calendars, gives the tilt of the Earth, which shines its light on the Earth and on the Arctic, and times in the winter it is more dark. So they are two different things that give two different information.
Mm-hmm. Now, some people say, and you may have said this, I can't remember, but some people say the moon was dragged into its orbit by ETs and was not a natural function of the solar system.
It was an effort to balance. It was an effort to balance Earth and to calm down the ambient energies that would get recycled through Earth and throw the grid off, and the pyramids all over the planet were built to help balance and connection with the moon, the balance, the affect a gravitational pull stabilizing the Earth.
So there's nothing, there was no negative intent of control of any sort by bringing the moon into the Earth's orbit. Right?
Not a negative attempt at control, but an attempt at control of the Earth's ambient energies.
Uh-huh. Okay. Was that successful?
Yes.
It was. And was there a connection between the moon and the building of pyramids?
Yes.
Can you share what it was?
They were at different times. The moon was at first, and then the pyramids were... later on, as the individual anchoring areas were noted and designed for building up structures that would siphon off ambient energy from the ground to the upper space and enable the Earth to... not tilt so radically at times.
Now, the pyramids, I believe, are pointed, or one of the windows is pointed towards the constellation of Orion.
This was on purpose.
Did that have anything to do with the reptilians?
We do not wish to... discuss people's
that. Okay.
At this time.
Can you indicate why it was pointed towards Orion?
It was to help stabilize Earth and to beaconize, to make a beacon for space travel. And to see how you were oriented when you came in close to landing. You
okay.
were oriented to the three star systems.
Mm-hmm. So
it is navigational tact.
I see. So the pyramids, one of their roles was to help in navigation.
Yes. They were like locator points to navigate by and to affix the stars, the star systems. It worked with their navigation equipment.
Thank you. What kind of navigation equipment were they using in those days?
It was... based upon star energy that was magnified into a navigational box with a display on the front that oriented and mechanically adjusted the spacecraft's flight pattern. Go ahead.
Okay. Next question here. This is from David Morton in England.
Hello, David.
Is saying prayers as good as meditation for spiritual growth? I say prayers, but I am lazy when it comes to meditation. Thank you.
We think of different ways of meditating, and saying prayers is directed, and it is directing energy more than meditation. One meditation could be to simply be in sync in present time with the world around you and let the mind still. There are different things.
Okay. How can one increase the power of both prayers and meditations?
One can envision when you are praying, envision the result that you wish, to project the result that you wish. It makes a broader footprint for the prayer to be answered and fills in the spots that makes more information towards asking of what it is you desire. Meditation, how can it be more powerful? To let the mind still, the mind chatter go. Don't pursue the thoughts that come up and observe. That way you can learn more about yourself and your mind.
So meditation is more like a passive experience, and prayer is more like an active experience with the energy of the universe.
Creative. Prayer is more creative.
Yes.
Yes.
And when we do prayers and meditation, how does that interfere? Interfere is not the right word. How does that include the spinningness, the toroid wave of radiation? When we do that, I know there has an impact. Can you describe that impact?
Your question is unclear. On which spinningness do you refer?
Well, any spinningness. In other words, let's suppose, for example, I'm meditating.
Okay.
It seems like when you're meditating, if you're doing an effective meditation, there's two things going on. One is that you're observing yourself. You're observing your thoughts. You're observing everything that's passing through you. And the other thing is you're fine-tuning your reception of the higher vibrations of the universe and passing them through your chakra system. Would that be correct or in the ballpark from your perspective?
They are passing through your chakra system and you are observing.
But that's not going to happen just because you're meditating. you have to be connected for that to occur. Could we say that's correct?
Connected to what?
Connected to the spinningness.
We would say connected to the mind, connected to the surroundings, so that you still your mind and you you become more sensitive and aware.
And with a prayer, what is the difference in the way a prayer connects with spinningness?
Everything is made of spinningness. So there's multitude of spinningnesses all around. And when you make your prayer, you can direct it when you get good. You can direct it upward. You can direct it sideways and out. When your chakras are spinning in sync, it helps send the prayer off into the ethers. When they're spinning in sync.
So in other words, a prayer is not just a thought in your head. It's a launched energy.
You can launch it, or it could be a prayer in your head.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We have a question from Bonnie Penners in Corona.
Yes.
In our Creator God book, there was a claim that the frequencies of the Elohim were encoded in the transcripts of the channeling. That idea really resonated with me, as I had experienced this phenomena while reading the raw material. Of course,
yes.
The raw material would encode the raw group.
Yes.
Is it true that the same concept applies to the listening to a replay of a conference call?
Yes. Yes, it is encoded in the voice and the channeling and in the resonance that it comes through, yes.
Okay. And
they send you go ahead.
During last night's Whole Planet Healing call, I had the unique sensation, and that's Bonnie Penners, of being on the second floor. Now, I don't mean that I was upstairs in my house. I was sitting on the patio with my eyes closed. I had the sensation of being in a place that felt like it was the second floor. And what I was seeing was like an unfinished room or a house under construction. I definitely felt there was a floor under me, but it was above everything else. Could our sources comment?
Give us a moment.
Bonnie, that's a tough one, I think.
There is a place that you are observing that you have actually been in. That was that place. It was meaningful to you because it was being finished for someone connected to you. It was important to you. We take a look further. That is all we have at this time.
Thank you. Here is a question from Heis. Lately, I have been putting out intentions praying right after completing my shower while my body is still wet and with my hand palms facing up. Does this have a greater effect than, for example, laying on my bed?
Yes, in that the shower has activated your skin and everything is working together more, and the energy can you have in your hands chakras, and the energy can move off and move in more easily after your shower, and your attention is not inhibited so much. By the pressure of the bed or the pressure of the bedclothes, it is more activated because of the shower. Thank you.
When you're in water, say in a swimming pool or in a bathtub,
yes.
How does that affect your ability to connect your energies with the higher realms?
In the water is not as effective as if you finished your shower. It is a little bit distorted, like when you lift the water. So the energy waves are a little bit distorted.
Water might be not as good as just praying in air, you know, on the ambient vibrational field.
Yes.
Okay, water will actually inhibit it. Okay, thank you. Don Herman has a question about power. And the sources have said numerous times that people should not give up their power. What power do people potentially have in 3D? And how do we increase our personal power?
Your chakras, when they are spinning and are vitalized, have power of sending energy and receiving energy. And so to increase the chakras spin and the health of the chakras and the vitality of the body and the immune system helps to send with more power, to receive with more power, more potential for connection due to the chakras spinning with more power, and so the chakras can be increased in connection. There is such a thing as sending, where you send energy, you focus into a triangle, say with the point at a distant object, and send energy, say from a base of energy from your self, something that you have created in your mind, and send energy, that energy will arrive and will be able to, even when you are more powerful, to make something move in the distance.
Thank you. And Valerie in Livermore has a question from her friend Pete. Okay.
Yes.
Yesterday he was walking his dog and past the old house where they used to live, and my neighbor that used to live there. Mrs. Hitchhike was the okay. Wait a second here. I just lost that here. Oh, yeah, here we go. After she passed, let me read that again. Yesterday, my friend Pete was walking his dog and passed the old house where he used to live, and my neighbor lived there, Mrs. Hitchcock, was into black magic. Before she passed, there used to be tons of crows in her backyard in the trees. After she passed, they all left. So what's up with the crows and the black magic? She passed at least 7 years ago, but still my friend felt some crazy energy. And then he had a dream last night. He told me I was speaking to him in Latin, and then I morphed into her. He was paralyzed in his dream, scared to death.
He was what?
Paralyzed in his dream and scared to death. Can you relate to what happened there? Thank you. Now, you know, I don't know if Pete has... Did Pete ask this question? Oh, it's a question from Pete. So I guess he did ask it. Okay, go ahead.
What is his relationship again with the house?
There was this house where... Oh, Pete's relationship with the house?
Yeah.
He used to be the neighbor from the black magic house, right?
I'm trying to see if she... Yesterday, he was walking his dog past the old house where he used to live, and my neighbor used to live there, Mrs. Hitchcock, who was into black magic. Before Mrs. Hitchcock passed, there used to be tons of crows in the backyard in the trees. After she passed, they all left. Why don't we just ask the question there? Why did the crows leave?
the crows were summoned. The crows were summoned by the black magic energy, as when you make a vortex with your mind, you can make a vortex with a point in the distance and the base at your own self, or you can make it reverse, where the base is in the distance and the point is at yourself, and you can bring in energy from the base to yourself, or you can make energy and send it to a point from a base that is at yourself. She was dabbling in on sending and receiving black magic energy. And she was summoning the birds, and they were coming into her sphere. They were attracted by her energy. And why did they leave? Because she no longer beckoned them.
Mm-hmm. There is a strange phenomena related to crows and symbolism. People look at crows as giving signs. How is it that an animal evolved into the status of giving signs, and why?
It dates back many centuries when black magic was practiced and the supernatural was adhered to, and crows were thought to be a harbinger of death or a harbinger of give us a moment. Gossip. And it was noted by some, when someone was very ill and there was a crow nearby, they were thinking it was a harbinger of death. People connected it in their mind with the presence of crows. It does not necessarily have to be that way, but if people project it, it can be a harbinger of trouble or death. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there other animals that act as symbols like that?
Fox. There's considered manipulative. A fox is a sign that somebody may be foxy or manipulating. The other thing concerning the fox is not related to that, because women were sometimes wearing fox tails around their neck, and they were the derivation of the word foxy. So there's the fox. There's the cat. The cat is considered an adjunct into the supernatural, and they call it a familiar, where the cat is said to help stabilize the energy for a person that is doing readings for people. Thank you.
Thank you. Next. We're almost finished tonight. Questions. We got an email from Ron Drucker, but he didn't ask a question. I think what I'm going to do, let's ask the question and close with this one. In the world right now, there's a lot of shifting and twisting and concern and uncertainty about the future and each person's future. And I'm sure that is, to some degree or another, on everyone's mind. What is the best way to deal with these changes on our planet?
To take it day by day to see what the changes might be. There are various categories of changes. There's your job, there's your family, there's the earth and earth changes, there's earthquake energies, there's political climate, there is international climate, and one needs to deal with each one, to isolate each one and deal with each one from their own self, from their own stability. And that way they add stability to the whole. Over to you.
Therefore, we should be paying attention to what's happening on our planet. Some people say disregard what's going on in the world, but it's wiser to pay attention.
It is good to pay attention for a couple of reasons. One of them is your energy adds to the whole. And by you being aware of what is going on, you get to add your energy to the whole. The other thing is it is somewhat protective to know what is coming down around you.
Well, I thank you very much. It's 7:52. We have 3 minutes. Anything you want to say in closing?
We realize that these are difficult times, and in your venue and we wish to be of assistance wherever we can. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I'm going to play Tom Petty's song, Don't Back Down. So, and then we're going to move over to Whole Planet Healing.
All callers are unmuted.
Thank you from Seattle.
Well, hello there, Cecil. We will see you guys on Whole Planet.